Cartoonist Doug Marlette has written a novel called The Bridge. It's partly autobiographical, taking as his starting point his own family's participation in a strike against the cotton mills in 1934. The strike was put down by the National Guard. Marlette's own grandmother was bayoneted. Others were killed. He threads that history through the life of a cartoonist who's returned home to the South. Marlette won the Pulitzer Prize for his editorial cartoons. He also draws a cartoon strip called Kudzu. He says, after years of summing things up in pictures, telling a big story was a big change.
At first, when I was writing this novel, I wanted to blurt everything out and get it all out in the prologue. I would say everything. And I had to kind of, that's the cartoonist impulse, to sum it up. You know, you can see journalism or a cartoon, you can see, conceive of the whole thing immediately. And in the novel, I had to teach myself to kind of be more parsimonious, to let it out slowly and let the story unfold as opposed to blurting.
Well, now, the hero of your book is a cartoonist. He's a really bad-tempered cartoonist who...
Yes, he's ill-tempered.
...who begins the book by decking his boss.
Yes, I think that's a kind of one of those Dilbert-type wishes that all Americans share in this corporate age. You know, that's one of the things about art, is you can express those impulses. You know, I would never do such a thing, but having a character do it for us is a satisfying.
Well, I was wondering about that, because there was a lot of autobiographical material in this book. Are you, in fact, writing about, in the character of Mama Lucy? Is Mama Lucy real?
Mama Lucy is based on my grandmother Grace Pickard. We called Mama Gracie, and she was indeed bayoneted by National Guardsmen during a mill strike. You know, I grew up terrified of this woman. She dipped snuff, she packed heat, she carried a .38 in her purse, and she was just this kind of holy terror, this blue-haired Ayatollah, I think I say in the book. All I knew is that this woman terrified me. She, you know, she was a black belt in passive aggression. So I spent my young manhood, my childhood, wanting to get away from all of this, and she kind of represented everything in that, in kind of a benighted aspects of my growing up that I wanted to get away from. And it was not until I was well in my adulthood and had been making trouble on the editorial pages of newspapers for a long time, when I learned at a family reunion that my grandmother had been stabbed, my father said, and I asked him, I immediately conjured a honky-tonk barroom brawls where she probably pulled her pistol, and, but he said no, she was bayoneted by a National Guardsman. This completely threw me. I had never thought of my grandmother's having a political bone in her body, much less being a kind of a Norma Rae or a redneck Mother Jones or
But
Emma
in fact,
Goldman.
That's what she was. She was a, and you make her the same thing in the book. She was involved in a tremendous strike in
right.
in the Carolina mills.
Yes, that's right. It's in the uprising of 1934, called the General Strike of 1934. It was the largest strike in American history at that time, and the 500,000 textile workers went out. I learned about this after I discovered this about my grandmother. I began investigating.
Now, it's an exciting story that you tell about this amazing Mama Lucy and what a really unpleasant old lady she is. And you sort of lay it over a whole lot of Southern characters and family members and a certain amount of excitement, and guns are pulled and shots are fired and things happen. Were you just sort of feeling like at some point you just had to get all this out of your system?
The thing I think that clinched it for me is when I bought a house in a little town called Hillsborough, North Carolina, a town I knew nothing about, but I fell in love with this historic home. And when my wife and I bought it as kind of a summer retreat, and when we moved in, immediately I started learning that my grandparents had worked in the mills in this town, not a mile from the front door of the house I had bought. And I think the clincher, Linda, was when I learned that the man who built this historic home, that he, Paul Cameron, had financed the mills where my grandmother had been bayoneted, where my people had worked. I realized that the grandson of a lint head had moved into the mill owner's house.
Lint heads, and like Peckerwood and Redneck and
whatnot,
right. Is
these
a pejorative
the kind of
term.
Mm-hmm. That's right, disparaging names used for my people, the cotton mill workers. And when I realized that I had moved into the mill owner's house, I thought that I had a story to tell.
Doug Marlette, thank you very much.
Thank you, Linda.
Doug Marlette's novel is called The Bridge.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.